What's behind North Korea's latest missile tests? Pyongyang has launched 6 rockets in 2 weeks, including one that flew over Japan. What message is North Korea sending, and how should the international community respond? This is Inside Story. Hello there and welcome to the programme. I'm Laura Kyle. North Korea has dramatically increased the number of its missile tests. It's conducted 6 in just 12 days, including the first intermediate-range ballistic missile test in 5 years. It landed in the Sea of Japan on Tuesday. Well, that launch prompted the Japanese government to warn people to seek shelter. The US, Japanese and South Korean militaries responded with live-fire drills a day later. And the Pentagon repositioned an aircraft carrier off the Korean peninsula. Pyongyang reacted by launching 2 more missiles on Thursday and sending fighter jets near its border with South Korea. In a phone call, the Japanese and South Korean leaders condemned the military escalation. The Pentagon says the latest tests pose a serious threat to the region's stability.
Clearly, North Korea is testing its missile program. It's looking to adapt. The issue here, though, is that these actions are provocative. They're dangerous. And as you well know, North Korea has not committed to any type of constructive or strategic dialogue on these issues.
Well, at the UN Security Council, the U.S. accused China and Russia of enabling North Korea's leader Kim Jong-un by blocking further sanctions. But Beijing said it is Washington that's provoking Pyongyang.
On the nuclear issue, the U.S. is playing by a double standard and is engaged in political maneuvering, poisoning the security environment. Against this backdrop, the heightened tension on the peninsula should not come as a surprise.
Well, the missile tests have increased fears that North Korea will soon conduct another nuclear test. The U.S.-based Center for Strategic and International Studies released these satellite images of the Punggye-ri test site from late September. Analysts say they show work on a tunnel which could be part of an expansion of testing capabilities. The UN is tracking North Korea's ballistic missile tests and says it has carried out around 40 this year. That's a record number. In the past 40 years, Pyongyang has conducted more than 200 missile launches and 6 nuclear tests. And more than half of those have been since Kim Jong-un came to power. Let's bring in our guests now to discuss this further. And in Seoul, we have Uk Young, a fellow at the Asan Institute for Policy Studies. In Tokyo, Alistair Morgan, a professor at the University of Tokyo and a former British ambassador to North Korea. And in Washington, D.C., Mark Fitzpatrick, a fellow at the International Institute for Strategic Studies and a former deputy U.S. Assistant Secretary of State. A very warm welcome to all of you. Let's start by looking at the timing of these tests. Uk Young, why are we seeing this barrage of missile tests now?
Yeah, I mean, we have to see the context. Well, as you see, the last September, North Korea announced its Nuclear Force Policy Act, and the law describes the UN aggressive nuclear doctrine that Kim Jong-un has been claiming since the April military parade this year. And it is intended to signal US and South Korea that their nuclear forces are now operational. And by shooting all these missiles, they say that, I mean, they are ready.
Alistair, how concerning is it for Japan that this intermediate-range ballistic missile flew, first of all, over its land, but second of all, it was unannounced?
Well, I think the fact that it is unannounced is a concern for everybody. There's an obligation to announce missile launches, which the DPRK always ignores. In terms of Japan, clearly it gave rise to notices to citizens in northern Japan and some other places that the missile was flown over. Clearly, the missile went beyond Japan, and the range of the missile was probably intended to demonstrate a capability to reach Guam. But Japan, as a neighbor of North Korea, is well aware that there are systems in North Korea that can strike Japan. And the nuclear posture that the North Koreans have announced makes it clear that if other non-nuclear powers are associated with a nuclear power in any action against the DPRK, then they can become targets as well. So, of course, it's a reason for particular concern for Japan.
Absolutely. And how much of a concern, Mark, is it for the US? I mean, is this Kim Jong-un testing Biden?
Well, the United States is certainly concerned with the growing modernization and expansion of North Korea's nuclear program. A nuclear weapon surely could fit in the nose cone of the missile that was just launched. And the fact that this the trajectory of the missile launch was more normal than the previous tests that went up and then down. North Korea is refining its ability to hit U.S. bases. And the United States is firm in its defense of Japan and South Korea, but aware that North Korea is trying to say that if there's a conflict on the Korean Peninsula, that North Korea would try to warn the U.S. off by saying that it could hit any U.S. Cities or bases if the United States were to be engaged in such a conflict. I don't think the United States will be, will be deterred by that, but it is certainly an escalation.
And it's worth noting, isn't it, Mark, that this is not the longest range missile that North Korea has in its arsenal.
No, they've got intercontinental ballistic missiles they successfully tested in 2017. And I expect that we will see another such test of an ICBM in the coming months.
Is that the feeling, Uk Young, in South Korea? Just give us an idea of what the policy there is from the current government towards the North.
Yeah, I mean, the South Korean government is trying to, deter the North Korean provocation. And I mean, while we are trying to, do much more, aggressive stance. For example, yesterday, North Korea did an air-to-ground exercise with its, fighter and bomber plane, and our Air Force launched like 30 fighters to intercept any threat.
I'm just trying to get an idea of what Yoon Suk-yeol feels towards. What is his policy towards the North? Because of course his predecessor attempted engagement and that didn't get very far. So what is this current government's approach?
Yeah, well, I mean, we are trying to do, both talk and, deal with, any threat. The things like this, I mean, the President Yoon clearly said that if North Korea wants to, talk to us, and we will, provide any help North Korea needs. I mean, the President Yoon called it the audacious initiative. Which include a lot of economic support, and only if North Korea is, coming to the negotiation. But I mean, when North Korea tried to this kind of provocation, and South Korea will stand firm with U.S. And also, as you see, what is really different from the previous government is that Korea is now working also with Japan. I mean, U.S. always has been the big supporter for the trilateral cooperation, but South Korean government has its own, a problem. But President Yoon, he did this initiative.
Is there Alistair, enough international cooperation on this? I mean, remember back to the times of the six-party talks on denuclearization, where there was a united front dealing with North Korea. Now it appears to be so fractured. How much coordination is there, and what more is needed?
Well, I would just like to pick up the point that was made about cooperation between Japan and the Republic of Korea. And I think that is important. And in terms of deterrence of North Korea, clearly underlining the what's often called the ironclad nature of the US alliance with Japan, with the Republic of Korea, is important. Looking at the wider international community, there's an obligation on every member state to implement the United Nations Security Council sanctions, and there has been much action by many member states. But as is very obvious at the moment, there is polarization on the Security Council, and there is not the unanimity that there was in, for instance, decision-making on introducing further sanctions in the Security Council. In terms of what is needed, clearly an effective Security Council is vital for this issue and for many issues in international peace and security. And it's a major concern that the unity is not there. I don't believe that any actual further coalition of international member states is going to deter North Korea from its determination to maintain its ballistic missile programs and its nuclear programs. But nevertheless, the coordination is still required to ensure that the deterrent effect is there and that sanctions bite. And the message is sent not just to North Korea, but to other countries as well.
But why is that, Alistair? If there was unity on further sanctions, but they didn't make any difference, what would be the point?
I didn't say it wouldn't make any difference. I said I didn't think it would change the determination of the DPRK to maintain its programs. I think that in the long run, maintaining sanctions and actually enforcing more effectively the current sanctions, and indeed, should the Security Council decide applying new sanctions, does increase the pressure on the DPRK. The DPRK, in my view, cannot achieve any real meaningful economic growth under the sanctions, even though actually it has, in effect, sanctioned itself with its COVID measures. And that in the long run does have an impact and actually creates a pressure that it can then be used for diplomacy. But at the moment, as Mark said, there is no indication that the DPRK is ready to respond to the overtures for diplomacy. I'd also say that sanctions actually can delay the continued rollout of the programme, even though it's very clear that the DPRK has reached a high level of development and has high levels of indigenous capacity.
I think we've seen in the past, haven't we, Mark, that sanctions only really work when China is fully on board because, of course, they supply an awful lot of fuel and food to the DPRK. To what extent is the US coordinating or able to coordinate with China on this front?
Well, we're not able to coordinate at all. China and Russia have refused new UN sanctions. They refused earlier this year. And China has really relaxed its implementation of existing sanctions. So given all the areas in which the United States and China are at odds, China is in no mood to cooperate with the United States on with regard to North Korea. So I don't think we can really expect much there. If I may, you know, say, if we're looking at other, you know, tools in the toolbox, there's one I think that might actually be effective, at least not immediately, but that is you know, we talk about sending messages. Let's send an actual message to North Korea. In the past, several years ago, South Korea was very effective when it turned down huge loudspeakers along the border of the DMZ and broadcast 10 kilometers into North Korea messages about the, you know, the corruption of the regime, interspaced with cute, you know, K-pop songs, cute girls and so forth. My understanding of talking with a North Korean defector once is this had a real impact in North Korea. And it's one way, you know, that we can do something that's not at all lethal, but could, you know, make the other side listen, you know, physically and metaphorically listen.
Absolutely. Well, they could hardly not listen to it, could they? I mean, okay, what do you think of that idea? Is it a viable one? Is it something that the South Korean government there is actually entertaining?
Yeah, well, actually, the ideal that, you know, let the North Korean people know the real situation is really important. But, I mean, well, I'm not, I don't think that the broadcasts near the DMZ is enough. I mean, well, as you see in the Ukrainian war, I mean, the internet service can affect, you know, all countries. So what I think that, I mean, if we provide the free internet and, you know, like a free device that they can connect to, maybe, I mean, that will, you know, bring down this, you know, dictator regime.
So what is the state of life for people inside North Korea? I mean, Kim Jong-un, he declared success over COVID 2 months ago. How much do we know about the economic situation and the social situation for people there now?
Well, not as much as we would like to know. I myself was last there in 2018, and the British embassy, like many of the other European embassies, all the other European embassies and many other embassies, closed in 2020, plans to reopen again. So the sort of information that was coming out from North Korea through the observations of diplomats in the country and through the observations of UN and other aid workers in the country has largely dried up, though some embassies remain there. I mean, it seems very likely that the situation is poor and that there are unknown numbers of deaths really from COVID-19. Of course, in suffering deaths from COVID-19, North Korea is by no means alone. And probably the level of food sufficiency is very, very low at the moment, and economic activity is low at the moment. But whether this is at the level of severity that was seen in the second half of the 1990s, which, of course, the regime managed to survive, is not clear. I hope it isn't, and I think it probably isn't. But the situation is not good. In terms of information access, there is less access to information now than there was a few years ago because of the closed borders between the DPRK and China and the rest of the world.
And so how much then is this? Are these tests a message to the domestic audience or indeed a distraction for the domestic audience from their living situations?
Well, I think you can have different views on that. I do believe that the program of ballistic missile launches, ballistic missile development, and nuclear weapons development is essentially a military program and a deterrent program. Clearly, at times, there are announcements of individual tests which are used for internal propaganda purposes. I think the existence of the image of an external enemy is important for the regime in its management of the people. But I don't think that these latest tests, the tests in the last 2 weeks, are primarily aimed at distracting the people of the DPRK.
Okay.
If that were the intention of the leadership, I think they would have done more to put out information about them in their own media and propaganda sources. They've been remarkably silent about them.
Mark, the last time we saw this many missile tests was in 2017. Then, of course, we had a nuclear test towards the end of that year. A lot of talk about a seventh nuclear test. What's your theory on that and when it might happen? Because there are, of course, some key global dates coming up. We've got China's Communist Party Congress, we've got the US midterm elections, we've got North Korea's Workers' Party anniversary. Do you have any theories as to when, if this might happen?
Well, I don't have any theories that are better than the theories being discussed in South Korea, where there's a view that a test during the upcoming Workers' Party Congress is the most likely time frame. So I think that's maybe the middle of October or you know, in the weeks thereafter. I've been expecting another nuclear test for some time, and the indications are that the site has been prepared for it. I think when it's imminent, we will get more information. We have very good satellite coverage of that site and some very good analysts who can look at it and tell us what's happening. I haven't seen that yet, but I expect we will. I think before the end of the year, we're going to get a nuclear test. Mm. We're probably going to get an ICBM test. And things are going to just get more and more tense.
And Uk-yong, is there a planned South Korean response to this?
Yeah, well, I mean, our National Security Council, I mean they are trying, you know, every inch to figure out if there's any, you know, sign of nuclear test. And I mean, they have a lots of plan. I mean, including military and diplomacy, I mean, to deal with the situation after the North Korea has done this test. I mean, the government's position is that, I mean, we will, you know, do every, you know, possible measure, you know, after North Korea did this, you know, nuclear test, and we will stand firm and working with the U.S. and Japan.
What would that look like, Alistair? What would that response be?
I'm not sure what the particular measures would be. I mean, I think you can look at measures that can be taken in response to the ballistic missile program. Increased emphasis on cooperation, looking again at the deterrence and detection and deterrence tools. I am sure that the United States, France, the United Kingdom, and other members of the Security Council, other than Russia and China, will work hard to get a new resolution in the Security Council if there is a nuclear test. Mm. I would hope that they would succeed, but it's hard to be optimistic at the moment. I mean, clearly, member states can take autonomous measures in relation to sanctions. And if the UN at the Security Council level is paralysed, then they may well do so. And there's scope, of course, for secondary sanctions against China, should member states decide that that is called for.
Just, Mark, just last thought from you in the last 30 seconds we have. What does North Korea want from all this?
They want protection against what they view as a potential attack on their country. They're wrong about that. They're wrong about who started the Korean War. But they want to defend themselves. And they also want to be treated, to see themselves as an equal to the United States. They loved it when President Donald Trump spoke with their president. I think it was a failed opportunity that leadership summit didn't result in any deals. We could have had something, and both sides asked for too much.
Okay, fantastic. Thank you very much, all of you, for joining us. Uk-yong, Alistair Morgan, and Mark Fitzpatrick. And thank you, too, for watching. You can see the programme again anytime by visiting our website. That's aljazeera.com. For further discussion, do go to our Facebook page. That's facebook.com/AJInsideStory. You can also join the conversation on Twitter. We're @AJInsideStory. From me, Laura Kyle, and the whole team here, it's bye for now.